Welcome each one to the service this morning. Thank you for coming and participating in this time of loss and mourning, as well as a time of hope and encouragement. Last night, I came across the song, Rise My Soul and Stretch Thy Wings, and the last verse really stood out to me. Says, cease, my soul, O cease to mourn. Press onward to the prize. Soon the Savior will return to take thee to the skies. There is everlasting peace, rest, enduring rest in heaven. There will sorrow ever cease, and crowns of joy be given. Know that rest, the everlasting rest, enduring rest, isn't that what we all long for? We face challenges in this life. There are stresses, there are worries and anxieties that we face, and difficult things to work through. We can experience rest, at least to a measure in this life, but we look to a more fullness of that rest when we are in the presence of our Lord forever. For the service this morning, I think for the local congregation, we'll just take a brief time here for the announcements, just go over that, and then we'll proceed with the funeral service. We have a value of the week. Here, and the value for this week is brotherhood. And I think it's something we experience at funerals is an element of that brotherhood of many people working together to accomplish something. At a state of brotherhood, the family of God, marked by love, submission, and transparency, nurtures and shapes our lives. Perry Lee has done that for many of us. He has nurtured and shaped our lives, as well as he allowed the brotherhood to shape him. We will not be taking an offering this morning, but next Sunday we'll have a double offering for Center Building Fund and for Center Missions. Julian's are at Calvary Bible School, left earlier this past week, and first term begins tomorrow. Tanya Yoder is leaving for Ghana today, and she'll be there about a half a year. And Seth Miller is leaving for Romania and Ukraine tomorrow for a number of weeks. So pray for them in their travels. If you have beds to offer for lodging during Braden and Anna's wedding on January 20th, please let Lois Mass know. We have a deacon ordination coming up towards the end of January, and there are several books on the back table titled The New Testament Deacon. Feel free to help yourselves to take one, read it, and return it so others can read it as well. The January sewing will be a restructured blitz on Tuesday, January 9, and there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board to let us know how you can help on that day. So take a look at that. I think that's all the announcements I have. Was there any other announcement that someone needed to make this morning? Okay, thank you for that. Just a few verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 starts with, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And later it talks about, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Perry's body is here, his soul and spirit have departed. What he is experiencing now, I don't know for sure what all he is experiencing, but I do have a hope that he is experiencing rest. But what state of existence is he in? I'm not sure. Does he have the new body already? Or is that coming at the resurrection? No, there are some questions that we'll leave the blanks blank at this point. We don't have all the answers. But we do have a hope that Perry is experiencing rest, and that's a comfort. And one thing that gives us comfort is that we have hope. We don't need to sorrow like those who don't have hope. Hope is a powerful thing in our lives. And as was stated here in the verse that I read from song number 389, there is everlasting peace, rest, enduring rest in heaven. There will sorrow ever cease and crowns of joy be given. And so, this morning it's a time of lost and mourning, but also an encouragement to press on towards the prize for the high calling of in Christ Jesus our Lord. On Wednesday morning, went in to visit Perry briefly, took two of my boys along with him. It's a little challenging to have a good conversation with him, and so it's helpful if a few people are together. And it's a limited conversation, but we sang a few songs. And at the end of the song, there was usually a amen or a praise the Lord. It wasn't as rambunctious as in times past, but it was still there. Praise the Lord, looking on the positive side of things. And so it was an encouraging time that we had with him, just a number of hours before his passing. Perry is one who had words of affirmation. Often after you had a part in the service, you'd get a call the next day, words of affirmation, an encouragement, and that was Perry. He was an encourager, a good example in that. And so this morning, as we go through the service, trust that it can be a time of comfort and encouragement for the family. God bless you as you go through this challenging time. You know, when the casket's lowered into the grave, it's not a comfortable time, but we have a God of comfort in the midst of uncomfortable times. So may God be with you. Many of you have the memorial with the order of the service. We'll just follow that order. John will lead us in several congregational songs, and James Shetler will have the opening meditation, and we'll follow the order that's given. God bless you.
Good morning. Would you open your hymnals to number 89? Holy God, we praise thy name. It seemed extremely fitting to Lyle and I that we open our time of worship this morning with the same song that has started every Kansas Mennonite Men's Chorus concert. Holy God, we praise thy name. Perry loved to sing with KMMC, and he loved to praise the Lord Jesus through singing. So let's now focus our thoughts and our hearts on bowing down and worshiping the Lord Jesus together. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, and I invite the men to sing verse 2. Number 89.
Oh, in heaven.
Number 180, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Number 180.
Welcome to this occasion. God has brought us together in a way that reminds us of the brevity of life and the fact that this is an appointment that we all will meet someday. You know, nothing in life really prepares us for the death of a loved one. Whether death results from a sudden accident or a sustained illness, it always catches us off guard. Death is so deeply personal and stunningly final. Nothing can emotionally prepare us for its arrival. With every death, there is a loss. And with every loss, there will be grief. The grief is real because there has been a loss of relationship. You know, as humans, God has endowed us with the capacity to enjoy meaningful, joy-filled relationships. But that same capacity causes grief when death comes. When death is preceded by a prolonged illness, as was Perry Lee's case, the loss is often experienced over a period of time. But even then, the finality of death brings with it additional grief. Grief has a purpose. If we come to God and allow Scripture to be the balm that brings us comfort. And I think prayer is also a vital part of processing our grief. It gives the means to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Meditating on Scripture and praying connects us to the God that does not change and has promised to always be with us. Grieving is the process that God uses to bring us to a place of wholeness. I've been thinking a lot about this Christmas season, about the word of Jesus, or the name of Jesus that was given by the prophet when he said that he will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that is such a comfort, that we are not alone. We have the promise of the Lord Jesus being with us. And it's as we do that, that comfort comes to us. In Psalm 6, David expresses distress. He doesn't exactly tell us specifics about what the calamity entails, but it seems to express the feelings, the fears, and the emotions that are sometimes a part of our experience when we face severe trial or significant loss. And two things I think we want to remember from this, or that we want to highlight, is that God invites us to express our feelings, our emotions. We can spill our guts, so to speak, to him, because he already knows where we are. But I think the process of sharing with the Lord our feelings is part of the process of dealing with them. But we don't just stay there. We also remember to look beyond ourselves. We realize that the purpose for telling God about our feelings is to release them, to give them to him, to recognize that he knows all about us. He knows who we are. I'd like for you to listen to David in Psalm 6, several verses. He says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief." You know, God delights when we bring our grief and our struggles to him. He's waiting to hear that. Giving those to him brings healing and peace to our heart and mind. If we only realized that God wants to replace our desperate fear and anxiety with his peace and trust, but he can do so only when we release it, only when we bring it to him. That's when he can replace it with his peace. Listen to the sense of trust and confidence that has replaced David's cries of distress. He goes on in verse 8 and 9 of Psalm 6 and says, "The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." What a sense of confidence. He goes on in Psalm 73 and says, in verse 23 to 26, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I despise besides, that I desire, excuse me, besides you. There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God is honored when we acknowledge that he is all that we have to cling to. He delights in providing for us what we have no other way of getting or possessing. Allow me to comment just a little bit on Perry's life and the interaction that I had with him. My acquaintance with Perry is almost 40 years, almost half his lifetime. When I moved to this community as a young man, married Janet, took a job at Humphreys, as it was known back then, I was introduced to Perry. I think some of the similar interests that we shared may have contributed to a mutual friendship that lasted even beyond the days when we were employed at the same business. We both enjoyed music and history. Perry loved a good joke, a riddle, or a cool pun. That was back when puns were still in. I can still hear his hearty laugh as it rippled through the shop. He loved his work, and he could assemble windows at a speed that was a sight to behold. His repetitive motions perfected so well that it resembled a machine. Perry was an outgoing person who loved people, and many of us, I think, benefited from our interactions with him. As I heard more of his life story and learned some of the tragedies and hardships that he had persevered through, I came to appreciate God's work of grace in his life. Perry could have easily become a hard and bitter person, but not so. He was upbeat and always seemed humble and grateful, and he was always looking for ways to encourage people. And I feel that he probably invested more in our friendship than what I did. I mean, I feel I benefited greatly from that. He took a keen interest in my call to ministry and looked for ways to encourage and affirm me in that. Numerous were the times that Perry and Judith would stop by our house over some special occasion just to drop off a pie or some other gift. His ability to remember dates was legendary. Even as we saw less of each other, he would periodically call just to chat or to clue me in on what event happened 15 or 25 years ago, you know, today. He'd always ask me if I know what happened that day. No, Perry, just tell me what it was. Interestingly, before I met Perry, I took a certain sense of pride in my ability to remember dates, but I couldn't keep up with Perry. Today we grieve our loss, but rejoice that Perry has been relieved of his earthly body and the limitations that it had. I consider it a privilege to have enjoyed a mutual friendship with Perry. You know, even though nothing in life can prepare us for the death of a loved one, there is something we can hold on to that is certain. There is a God in heaven, our Father, who loves us and has promised to be with us until the very end of time. And there's no kind of trouble, grief, or loss that we can experience this side of heaven that Jesus himself is not familiar with. Therefore, he is the perfect comforter. To the family, I'd like to say, may God's grace and his peace sustain you. Judith, I commend you for your commitment to Perry. The journey has not been easy the past several years, but rest assured the same God that has brought you here will also be there for you tomorrow. I invite you to bow your heads as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this special gathering and the opportunity we have today to reminisce about the life of Perry, the impact that he had on us, and on the ways that you have supplied grace and courage for his life and all the challenges that he faced. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize today that you are with us, that you will carry us in the future in the same way that you have up until now. We commit the day to you. May the things that are said today bring glory to the Lord Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Perry dearly loved this particular arrangement of I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. It expresses our heart's desire to have a faith that focuses on things above and not things here on the earth. Basses, I invite you to sing with strength in the refrain. Let's sing.
I'm pressing on.
May the God of comfort and love grace us with his presence here today. You know, the sovereignty of God, God Almighty, brought us together one more time to remind us of the brevity of life. And like always, parting with a loved one is bittersweet. While we are glad that the suffering, the sickness, for Brother Perry is over with. And we have the confidence that Perry Lee was ready to meet his maker. Yet closing that casket for the last time is never easy. So God bless you as a family for caring for Perry these last years. I know there are some rough spots, and yeah, God bless you for doing that. I know death is not a stranger in your family, but it doesn't matter how often we experience death. It's no less invasive and painful because of the love that we have shared with each other. And of course, our minds go this morning to Julia and Twyla. And now, a husband, a father, a grandfather. So may God bless you with comfort and grace, his peace as you go through this day. You know, Jesus knew the feeling, the emotion that death leaves in its wake. When his close friend Lazarus had died, those same emotions came to the surface for Jesus, the same emotions that we face today. It actually says Jesus wept. He walked this earth. He knows our frame. He created our emotions, our emotional being. So he does care what you and I are going through this morning. Perry Lee was 80 years old. And even at my age, I understand the scripture metaphors. I understand them better now than I did 20 years ago. As a psalmist writer puts it, he said, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." You know, we see the beauty of the flower. We smell the fragrance. And then the petals start falling off. Then it's gone. And that's why we're here today. Also in the book of James it says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." When you watch that tea kettle in the morning, as that vapor, that steam rises, you know, it's there for just a little bit, and then it's gone. He says that's the way our physical lives are. Here today, gone tomorrow. And I know we would say Perry lived a full life. And he was blessed with a wonderful wife, children, and grandchildren. And I'm sure if we could talk with him today, he would attest to the fact that 80 years is a short time. It's even as a vapor. And that's why it's so important to approach our Almighty God with the words of the psalmist when he said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And he's not suggesting that we should know how many days that we are here on this earth. But he's saying, since we don't know, how many days that we have, he says, be wise. Be wise in how you live them. You know, God entrusted us with time and this little guy just messed up in my pocket because all the sand is supposed to be in the top. So it will get there. Life is like this time glass, hourglass. You know, when we're playing a game, we try to get as much done before our time runs out. Sometimes we guess the answer before the time is up. Other times we're right in the middle of figuring it out. And someone says, stop. Time's up. And it didn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are in the game, how close that we have the right answer. When it's time to stop, we have to stop. It's over with. Do we see the importance of our time glass this morning? Do we understand that someday the sand is going to run out? You know, the only problem is that God has covered the top of the glass. When he allows life to begin in the womb, he puts a certain amount of sand in that glass, and then he puts a cap on it. If we could see Perry's hourglass this morning, we would say that it was almost full, 80 years. But nobody knew when that last sand was going to slip down that narrow space in the hourglass. Our lives are in his hands. I think it's important this morning for us to just take the time to remind ourselves that we're not here on this earth to stay, and neither do we want to. Because Jesus had said in John 14, in my Father's house there's many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Ecclesiastes writer says, one generation passes away, and another generation cometh. And I know it's easy in the hustle and bustle of life to get all wrapped up with things pertaining to this life, and we don't take the time to think of the life after death. Man today would like to know what happens after we die. And there is one way of finding out. You know, death is still a door that is shut to living humanity. And it seems that God is telling us that man has trespassed to the point of choosing death. So I will keep you from the reality of the other side till you die. There's been lots of speculation done, and there's some people that are sure that they know what's going to happen, how it's going to be after we die. The fact is, we won't know till we get there. And when that door opens, and we step over the threshold, that's when we will know what it's like after man dies. For the believer, God has given us a hint of what we're going to find there. In the book of Revelation, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You know, God is kind enough to tell us all that we need to know about the afterlife. We have the Word of God that tells us how to prepare, and that's what's important this morning, is to prepare our hearts for the afterlife, as we call it. It's the simple act of believing by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us at Calvary. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's the believing in him. Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's then that the passage there in Revelation 14 becomes reality, where it says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." God's word tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He's telling us that depending on how we want to be found by him, by the judge, we need to live accordingly. The way that you want to meet your God is the way you need to live today. We all know it's not if you meet God, but it's when you meet God. You can meet him as a friend. You can meet him as a foe. You can meet him as a savior. Or you can meet him as a judge. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he leaves that choice to us. You and I came into this life without a choice. But God allows us to choose where we want to spend our next life. You and I have the choice how to live our lives. The Ecclesiastes writer says, "Live the way you want to, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." Too many people today live the way they want to here on earth, And when death calls, they think they can hop on that glory-bound train to heaven. But I'm here to say this morning, it doesn't work that way. The way I understand the Bible to say is we need to live a holy life today if we want to enter those pearly gates of glory when we die. God allows us to choose our destiny. Death comes for the young as well as the old. And I know that you know that here in at Center. There's no one that has the promise of tomorrow. But what blesses my heart this morning is that we don't have to fear when death comes our way. We can have the same hope that Brother Perry Lee had. In Proverbs 14, it says, "The righteous hath hope in his death," or assurance. We can have that assurance this morning. And I love that song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. That's what we can be this morning. It's not saying that we are not going to experience doubts and struggles in life, because we will. But as we yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, his grace will sustain us even in our struggles. The Apostle Paul said that he's a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He's saying that if we believe, if we trust in the plan of salvation through Jesus, we can claim the promise that God made before the world began, and that is to give us eternal life. We call it a living hope. It's what helps us to plod on when we face those tough times in life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. According to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. I want you to get this morning. It says to an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that this is a tremendous passage of Scripture that we can hold on to as we face death. We can claim inheritance not because of who we are or what we have done, but because of God's abundant mercy wherewith he loved us. What a gift that is, just for believing by faith in the blood of Jesus. I want to take a moment to just consider the keeping power of God. It says there, there is an inheritance reserved in heaven for those that are kept by the power of God. And it's easy to read over those verses and not get the depth of their meaning. The power of God is without limit. I believe one way that we as believers experience this is through the day of grace that we are living in today. When you and I come to the point of accepting and believing in the finished work at Calvary, believing in the blood of Jesus, we receive the Spirit And therein is the seal, the power of protection of our eternal soul till the day of redemption. You know, as we go through life, we do make mistakes. We fall into Satan's snares at times. But God's grace is always greater than our sin. Again, the power of God is his grace in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this work is done through the Holy Spirit that has promised to be that has been promised to us as believers. And it's by a God that cannot lie. We can reject God's grace, but as a believer, we are kept by the power of God. May our hope in Jesus Christ be renewed again this morning. In Titus 2, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you looking forward with hope this morning for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Am I dreading my appointment with my Maker? You know, our appointment is set. We know it's going to happen. So why not just prepare today for that time? In Deuteronomy 32, it says, oh, that they were wise and that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. We have the privilege today to prepare our hearts to meet him. And I know death is an enemy to us, and we try to steer clear of him, but we don't have to fear. That's Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And if we're shepherded by him, we have that promise of protection when death is no more a shadow, but when it becomes a reality for us. So in closing, I'd like to read that old favorite psalm, Psalm 23, and it's such a comfort psalm to us. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless you as a family as you go through this time of parting and grieving. Just remember that God loves you, he cares for you, and so do we.
You can open your hymnals to 818. O Father, lead us gently by the hand. Judith requested that we sing this song, and I invite all of us to pray this prayer this morning, asking our kind Father to lead us, even though we frequently have doubts and fears. Number 818.
Good to see everyone who has come to show their support. Thank you each for coming this morning. I will start by reading the obituary and then sharing some memories. Perry Lee Stutzman, 80, of South Hutchinson, died December 27th, 2023 at Mennonite Friendship Communities. He was born March 28, 1943, in Hutchinson to Tobias and Emma Knisley Stutzman. Perry was a longtime employee of Pleasantview Home Improvement and then was a truck driver for Pervia Doors. He was a member of Center Amish Mennonite Church and gladly served in any way he was asked. Perry loved music and singing. He belonged to the Mennonite Men's Chorus. He loved history and loved people. Perry always remembered dates, recalling all birthdays, anniversaries, and significant events from memory. On March 13, 1971, he married Judith Knisley in Hutchinson. They shared 52 years of marriage together. Perry is survived by wife, Judith, South Hutchinson, sons, Owen Stutzman, Wanda, South Hutchinson, Lyle Stutzman, Maria, Washington, Indiana, 9 grandchildren, siblings, Glenn Stutzman, Irvin Stutzman, and Irma Yoder. He was preceded in death by his parents and daughters, Julia Ann Stutzman, Twyla Joy Stutzman, and sisters, Edith Stutzman and Mary Edna Yoder. Dad was always one who enjoyed memories. In 2012, Dad was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He shuffled when he walked, and we noticed some other things as well. And we scheduled an appointment with the neurologist to have him checked out. And of course, they wanted him to walk. And I remember he really tried to pick up his feet so that wouldn't be noticeable. But we knew that things weren't like they should be. And so the last 12 years of his life or so were difficult for Dad as we saw a decline in his health and his mobility. But these weren't the memories that I recall growing up as a child at home. Dad had a small farm. Started out at what is known as the Henry Schrock Place. It never changed that name. That was the Henry Schrock Place. There was always a few livestock on the farm and a couple of tractors. John Deere tractors were always a source of delight for Dad, especially the two-cylinder models that gave off a distinctive pop-pop sound. He could really imitate that. And he really enjoyed that startup sound that those tractors made. In spite of his love for John Deere tractors, he had a Massey Ferguson tractor, which he used quite frequently. And on that tractor in the gear shift, and I don't know how he drove this tractor as well as he did, but he had a little note by the shifter that said, "Caution, do not grind gears. Thanks." And if you didn't know what you're doing, you would be grinding those gears pretty easily. But he could drive that tractor like no one else I knew. He was always eager to use this Massey for whatever service he could. He used it for bush hogging, scraping the churchyard, church parking lot. And boy, whenever there was a big snow, he really got excited because he'd get that Massey ready for scraping snow, and he'd go out to Hutch and scrape snow. It didn't matter if it was just freezing cold. He was excited about scraping snow. That's one remembrance I had. He enjoyed helping others whenever he could, and whenever there was a trade involved, that was even better. One time, a local Amish man asked him to build some windows for a pull-behind trailer that he was fixing up for his family. Dad agreed to that. And since Dad was an expert at building windows, since he worked at Humphreys, which is now known as Pleasant View Home Improvement, he was glad to help out. Now, I don't know how this agreement all worked out, but in the end, the man got his windows, and Dad happily received a hefty payment of hamburger, which he was tickled about. A big memory in my childhood was the big trip of 1984 that we took, and we went east for 3 weeks. Dad had a lot of Hillcrest friends, and we saw a number of them. We also stopped at relatives' places. So we kind of did the Mennonite your way type thing. We went as far east as Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and lots of good memories from that trip. One thing I will always remember is when we were driving through West Virginia, mountainous, curvy roads there, Dad was playing Beethoven. And he just loved listening to classical music while driving through the mountains. Now, I don't know why exactly, but he just really said how that music seemed to sound better when driving through the mountains, or the two together just went well together. I don't know why it stuck with me, but it made an impression on me. And so anytime I hear Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, I think of that trip. And it just, Dad just loved that music. And Dad frequently talked about his years at Hillcrest Home and a lot of good times he had there. But my dad also proved that you don't have to be young to go into voluntary service. In 1998, at age 55, he and Mom started a 2-year term of service for Choice Books of Kansas. Dad was always excited about working for Choice Books and taking Mom with him. They had a lot of good times on the road. And I remember hearing stories from their times of servicing those book racks and the managers they met with. They had a lot of humorous stories to share. So Dad commented frequently, those were some of the best years of his married life. So I will turn the time over to Lyle to continue sharing memories. And again, I want to thank you, each one, for coming and showing your support.
Well, none of us compared notes today before we came up here, so you'll see that some of us have some duplicate things, but that just goes to show how much a part of his life some of these things were. Here's a tribute to my dad. Perry Lee Stutzman. My children only knew him as an elderly grandfather with Parkinson's, but he was young once, and growing up wasn't easy for him. He was born in Kansas, but his family moved to Iowa when he was 8. Because of their frequent moves, he attended 5 different schools, making it difficult to find his place in the world at a young age. And to make matters more difficult, his family experienced significant struggles. You can read about it in the book Tobias of the Amish. Those difficulties became exponentially harder when he was 13 years old. His world turned upside down when his dad died in a car accident. Then a challenging childhood immediately became what looked like an impossible adulthood. It wasn't easy to be the man of the house and feel financial pressures at age 13. It wasn't easy to face the community with the difficult circumstances surrounding his father's death. He felt the pressure keenly, and he worked hard to help his family. Starting in those early years, he lived a pattern of faithfulness as he did what he knew to do to provide for his family and support the church and community. He worked hard making windows and doors at what is now Pleasant View Home Improvement, driving truck for Provia, and farming on the side. He served the church through leading songs, keeping church supplies stocked, grading the church parking lot, and keeping it clear of snow. But besides working hard, Dad found ways to do things he loved and help others enjoy them as well. He knew what he liked, and when he liked something, he wanted others to enjoy it as well. Working at Hillcrest Home in Arkansas, he enjoyed making friends, making people laugh, and singing in a mixed quartet, an experience that he talked about for the rest of his life. He liked old cars and can tell you the make, model, and year of any old car that you would see. But his favorite was the 57 Chevy. He loved to keep old things, such as a check that he wrote to Quality Body Shop for painting his 57 Chevy. And he happily pulled it out to show any unsuspecting victim that he really and truly did get that car painted for a little bit of nothing by today's standards. At age 27, he married Judith Knisley, and they raised a family of four children, Julia, Owen, Twyla, and me. He enjoyed raising crops and a few animals on his small farm, and he loved his John Deere tractors. From the D John Deere to the 730 to the 4010, he thought everyone was special, and he loved to demonstrate, as you've heard, the pop-pop of the old John Deere. I thought, could we really do a tribute for Dad without doing some of the demonstrations? I'm not sure. Yeah. But he didn't just enjoy imitating tractors. He also enjoyed imitating people. From their voices, to their gestures, to the way they walked. Things like, see if you can figure out who this is. I'm not going to say it.
Vel peri vibishtu.
Or someone who would request a mic to talk, right, in church. Or there is someone who would always turn, at the end of a service, would always turn off a light switch the same way. This one right over here. He loved to demonstrate those things. He loved to get a good laugh when he nailed an impersonation. He liked jokes. You've probably seen him with note cards in his pocket. Always had note cards in his pocket and a pen so he could carry around a joke that he heard or write down something that he heard or write down a church saying that he saw or just some kind of proverb. Things like, the one that I heard the most was, heavenly forecast, rain forever. He repeated these jokes and sayings until we couldn't forget them. Like the little boy who was told by his parents that they're going to have company this evening, and the man has a really, really long nose, but he's not supposed to talk about it. Don't talk about the man's nose when he's here. So they came, and they were having a meal, and this man with the long nose was at the table, and the little boy sat at the table and mournfully said, so en gross en os en medaf en ik so. Such a long nose, and we can't say anything. Or why does the airplane have propellers? To keep the pilot cool. Well, if it stops, he starts to sweat. Yeah. He loved humor, especially the jokes and speaking style of Don Loney. If you spent much time with Dad, you probably heard multiple Don Loney jokes, such as, Mary had a little lamb, she tied him to a heater. Or the one, I'm not giving the punchline on these. Or, I pressed a kiss to her lips, what could I do but linger? If you want to hear the punchlines, you just have to talk to the family. We've heard it hundreds of times. And now I'm curious, and there will be several times when I'm going to ask questions to give you an opportunity to raise your hand, because I think it would just be really interesting to know, how many of you had Dad play a recording of Don Loney for you at some point? Look around. Okay. Dad was quick to call up people on the phone, even if it seemed out of the blue. He would tell people something that he'd heard or seen or share something that happened 50 years ago today. Or tell someone that he just saw a street sign with their name on it and thought of them. In later years, he would tell Mom who to call. And together, they would talk to whomever got chosen that day. Just to chat. So now, how many of you, let's say in the last 3.5 years or so since Dad was at the manor, got a call from Mom and Dad just to chat? All right. He kept track of people's birthdays and anniversaries and would frequently ask the congregation to sing happy birthday for someone at church that day. He liked doing special things. It was not unusual to load up the family after a day of hard work and drive to Dairy Queen on 3rd Street, or maybe the Dairy King, and get beefy bunwiches. He loved to create memories with people by taking them something special, such as pies or subs or pizza or whatever struck his fancy. He and Mom delivered many of these to people over the years. Next question. How many of you ever had Mom and Dad deliver you something, some kind of food? Okay. Perry wasn't given to many words, but when he spoke in public, it was often to share a historical incident or a comment designed to make people laugh. So when the congregation here was discussing coverings and veilings, he just threw out the comment at one point, "No strings attached." Now, some of us may have rolled our eyes a little bit. But the humor helped to break the tension. Now, the best moments were when historical facts and humor converged. When speaking at our wedding reception, he told how his old Hillcrest friend Carol and her family from Kentucky had visited his family back in 1981. Carol probably held me when I was 9 months old and when she was pregnant with Maria. And he said, "This gives new meaning to the term casual dating." I actually laughed at that one. He loved sharing historical facts and making people laugh. But the thing he most loved to share with others was choral music. When he first heard Handel's Messiah at Bethany College in Hillsboro, he was overwhelmed with the experience. He tried to get people excited about going to hear Messiah. His excitement was infectious. And although his exhortations sometimes fell on deaf ears, some people joined him in the yearly musical tradition. And some have pointed to Dad's enthusiasm as being instrumental in shaping their love for good music. He loved Messiah, but the crowning glory of his musical experiences was singing with the Kansas Mennonite Men's Chorus. As the KMMC contact person for the area, he recruited many men and boys to sing over the years. He kept a recording from every year. So a tape of the men's chorus was never far away. He loved to listen to Jonah Cleaver's solo on Angels Rolled the Stone Away, and we would gamely listen to it again and again. Even far away in Kentucky, when Maria was a little girl, her family listened to a record in which the 500 Kansas Mennonite men sing while Carol showed them Perry Lee Stutzman, John F. Nisley, and others she knew on the album cover. Perry brought the excitement and beauty of concerts into his own living room, where he frequently played recordings of different choral groups to anyone who would listen. He especially loved the places where the sopranos went really high. It just goes up. One for Stanley. How many of you remember him playing a recording for you at some point? Okay. It wasn't necessarily easy for him to express deep emotion, but he came alive when he experienced music. Even in his final years at the Manor, when speaking grew difficult, aside from being with Mom, music was the thing he responded to the most. While Parkinson's increasingly weakened his body and made communication difficult, his spirit overrode those weaknesses when he heard music. In May of this year, my family was visiting him. We sang a few songs for him at the Manor. And although he had hardly spoken the entire time during our visit, He immediately became animated when we sang. His face brightened, and he started to conduct. And not only that, he did the correct pattern on the correct beats. After a life of going to others and sharing humor and music with them, others came to Dad and shared humor and music with him. Many people from the church and community, many of you, visited him at the manor, bringing stories of old times, sharing words of encouragement, and singing the songs he loved. When asked what his favorite song was or what song they should sing for him, he replied quickly, "Hallelujah Chorus." No one sang that song for him, but the visits and songs were always special. He died on Wednesday afternoon, but on the previous Friday, in that last week, a singing group from Pilgrim High School visited him and sang, among other things, a song that I had arranged. Dad gave all of his children a love for music, and it was incredibly thoughtful for the high school to share the fruit of that love with him, with Mom and Dad. And that is a memory that, although I was not there to witness, I will cherish. 2 days later, a Sunday school class from Center went to visit Dad and have class with him. Well, after singing a few songs, it became clear that they should just sing instead of having class. So they sang the entire time, giving Dad exactly what he needed and sharing a profound time of worship. And on Wednesday morning, several days later, a father and two of his boys stopped by and sang for Dad only hours before he died. No one knew how close he was to heaven at that moment. But God, with his father heart, gave back to Dad the gifts that Dad loved to share with others. Gifts that we believe he is now enjoying in their fullness. So to use Dad's most used phrase in recent years, I say sincerely, praise the Lord. And now let's sing, "We Praise Thee, O God." This was one of his favorite songs. He loved to pull this out anytime. He loved upbeat songs of praise. Notice we had those songs today. The second song was an upbeat song of praise. The third song was an upbeat song of praise. The fourth song was one that was sung at Mom and Dad's wedding. And this is now an upbeat song of praise. So let's stand as we sing.
Well, thank you to each of you who has taken part in the service this morning. It's a time of reflection, a time of bringing glory to each one of our Maker. And as Lyle said, praise the Lord. We want him to receive the glory. Another phrase I often heard Perry say in years gone by, to God be the glory. During the final viewing, there'll be some congregational singing happening, so invite your participation in that. And my understanding is that at the meal this afternoon, towards the end, you'll be moderating or giving some additional reflections and memories, led by Irvin Ray. Inviting others to participate and share memories as well. So welcome to stay around until that happens. The time will probably depend on how things progress. And again, we do have a meal that is prepared, and everyone is welcome to stay for that. If you are not going over to the burial, give a little time till they set up tables and so on, but feel free to stay here for the noon meal. I think at this time, we'll just pause for a word of prayer, blessing on the food, and remainder of the day. Let's pray. Father, today we do recognize that you are worthy of our worship and our praise, and we do want you to receive the glory from each one of our lives. Thank you for the time here together. Thank you again for the life that Perry Lee lived. Not a perfect life, but still a life of a good example for us to follow, of impacting others and sharing the joy of life. I pray your blessing on the food that's prepared. I want to use the strength we get from it to glorify you. Be with the family, be their strength, their comfort. And after today, a lot of us will go back to normal routines and things will be different for them. I just pray that you would sustain them with your grace and your strength. Thank you that you are always good, even when life is hard. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we'll turn the time over to the funeral directors, and the ushers will direct how the final viewing will take place.